Kalayavana, the king of Magadha, and Shalva attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After the death of Kamsa, when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers of Kalyavana, Jarasandha, and Shalva, the Lord seemingly fled from the city, and thus he is known as Ranchor, or one who fled from fighting. Actually, the fact was that the Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of his own men, devotees like Muchakunda and Bhima. Kalyavana and the king of Magadha were killed by Muchakunda and Bhima, respectively, who acted as agents of the Lord. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees, as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. So that's an important sentence. In order to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The Battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself, but just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sach Chin, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the Battle of Kurukshetra. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his pure, unalloyed devotees. Omagyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshuramitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Grim Yat Kripata Mahamvade Shri Gurundina Tarnam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Yasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Nashta Prayasho Bhadrashu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Kalyavana, the king of Magadha, and Shalva attacked the city of Mathura, but when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men. So, this verse is describing how Krishna is secure in his position of being all-powerful and of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When someone's secure in their position, then they don't mind giving the credit to somebody else. They're not needy. They're not feeling insufficient that they need to be the center of attention and get all the credit and be the hero every time. That's really someone who's narcissistic. A narcissist is someone who considers themselves in an absolute position. Krishna, because the highest value that Krishna holds is loving relationships, not relationships of I'm the authority and you have to obey what I tell you. That's what, he doesn't value that higher than having a loving relationship where it's more to do with the heart than the ego or the head. So this is the nature of any good authority. So I was thinking how this is a very fatherly attitude. This is how a father behaves when they're raising their children. They're trying to bring up their children to attain their highest potentials. They're not trying to have their child as just an appendage that reflects how great I am. These are my possessions. That's not the attitude of a good father. A good father will try to nurture their child and help them develop their strength and help them develop their good character. Those are the two main objectives of raising a subordinate. That, you know, you're physically nourishing them, but you're also teaching them values and how to develop good character and morality. And that's what Krishna does, and that's why Krishna gives the credit to his devotees, or the opportunity to be the hero to his devotees. Krishna doesn't have to always be the hero. Even though he's God, he's the all-powerful, he's the all-knowing. It's a very limited conception of God that he's the autocratic ruler and that we have to simply have awe and reverence for God. That's a secondary level of relationship. It's an inferior level. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that love is crippled by too much emphasis on awe and reverence towards him. And in the same way, if a father's bringing up a child, then the relationship is crippled if the father just is the authority and nothing else. You know, sometimes you see that the father will micromanage their kid, you know. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then even later in life, you know, they'll tell their kid, your clothes are too scruffy. Make sure you're neater. You haven't combed your hair. That's not the job you should get. I don't want you to get that job. I want you to be a doctor or a solicitor. This kind of, I'm the authority, it's my way or the highway. That's not how, and actually when that's the case, everybody's the loser. Everybody's the loser. The kid's the loser and the subordinate's the loser and the authority is the loser. Everybody loses. But when there's a loving exchange and there's this, like what Krishna's doing here, everybody's the winner. Krishna could be the hero every time if he wanted to be, but he doesn't, he's saying that he gives the opportunity to his devotees to be the hero. Everybody wins, the devotee wins, and Krishna, because he loves his devotee and he sees his devotee flourishing and realizing their potential, then Krishna's the winner as well, because he's so happy to see his devotee advancing. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says, how does it go? It says, etavad avyayo dharma. Etavad avyayo dharma. Punya shloka upashitaha, yobuta shoka harshabhyam, atma shochati hrishyati. And translated, that means that a person's religious principles are considered imperishable when they're happy to see somebody happy and they're unhappy to see somebody unhappy. That is an exalted personality. They're not envious. They're happy to see somebody happy and they're unhappy to see somebody unhappy. So Krishna's happy to see his devotee flourishing. And he's unhappy to see his devotee suffering, anybody suffering. That's what it means to have imperishable religious principles. So when to get this situation of everybody wins instead of everybody loses, there must be this mood of wanting to see the other person even exceed themselves. Because we're not, you know, we're not like a father and a son. It's not that the father remains the authority throughout the whole span of the relationship. Chanaka Pandit would say that from the age of 0 to 5, the parents should just simply bestow a flow of love upon the child. Let the child be the center of the universe. And from 5 to 15, then the character forming has to happen, so therefore discipline and strictness has to be there. From 15, there's another change of gear. Then the parent stops being the authority and starts to just befriend that youth. So it goes from, I'm serving you, you're the center, you're the prince, you're the princess of the whole universe. Then it goes to, you need to develop good character for your own sake. And then it goes to friendship. I'm not gonna play the authority card anymore. It's too late. You know, what you've learned up to this point, that's what you've got to kind of work with now. I can't be your authority anymore. Somewhere came across this study that scientists, they study all sorts of things. So they did this study on animal societies, dogs and cats and mice and rats, and they observed how the mother and the father, how they relate to the offspring. So what they discovered was that once the offspring reach a certain kind of, I guess you could say, the age where they can sort of bound around and they've got a certain mobility, certain shakti in their body. Because when the living entity is just a very small baby, there's very limited movement and activity that they can perform. But when they reach a certain age where they're frisky and they're running around and they want to explore the powers of their body, so they start wrestling each other. The little creatures will start to wrestle each other, but they also want to wrestle with mum and wrestle with dad, especially with dad, and try their hand with him as well. And that's where they discovered that if there's a really grumpy dad, right, whether it's a cat, a dog, or a rat, or whatever, a really narcissistic, grumpy dad, and he doesn't want to play with the kid, then that's like everybody loses. And that offspring doesn't develop their full prowess. They discovered that it's okay for the father to defeat the kid in wrestling. Out of 75% of the time. If they defeat the kid 75% of the time, but let the kid win quarter of the time, 25% of the time, that kid will always come back to for more wrestling. But as soon as it's the father's defeating the kid too many times, the kid becomes discouraged, the kid becomes introverted and doesn't want to play, and they lose that exploration propensity that everybody needs, that propensity to be creative and explore. And otherwise, how are you going to find yourself, who you are, if you're not willing to sort of find out who you are? You have to go into the unknown, and you have to be prepared to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes. So naturally, there's this balance of good parenting where you're letting the kid make their mistakes, but you're also drawing a safe parameters for them to explore themselves within. That's got to be there also. Now, just this, I hope this doesn't get too complicated, but Krishna is parenting. I was thinking about how Krishna parents all the living entities, because he wants all the living entities to attain their natural svarup. Their Maima Vamsha Jiva Loke verse tells us that we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. We're all Krishna's children. Directly in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the verse that says, Aham Bija Pradapita, I'm the seed-giving father. Pita Ham Asya Jagato, I'm the father of the whole universe. Krishna is the father. So there's a way that Krishna is managing the universe that is helping all the living entities to grow and develop and return back to Godhead, to grow and develop and become return back to their original consciousness, to attain their svarup, their unique individuality. There's a way that Krishna does this, and it's through the law of karma. So I've recall a few occasions when I've been distributing books when I've told people how the law of karma works, and I've said that it basically means that if you practice religious principles, then you will be rewarded. And if you break the religious principles, then you will be punished. And the rewards come in the form of Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bir, which means that you get a very good birth. Aishvarya, you'll get prosperity. Shruta, you'll be intelligent. And Shri Bir means you'll be beautiful. These are all opulences. So when somebody practices religious principles, they're rewarded in these ways. And when somebody breaks the religious principles, then they're punished in the opposite way. They'll be punished by having a scarcity of intelligence. They won't be beautiful. They won't have a good family. And they won't have prosperity. They'll be poverty-stricken. And then I've had people say to me, that sort of preaching has often not had the desired effect, because the people say, oh, I see. So God just practices the carrot and the stick, does he? You know, he just gets you to do what he wants you to do. Now, That's what an atheist will, that's how an atheist will respond. But someone who's a theist will understand who Krishna is. So if anyone is qualified, you know, whether you want to call it the carrot or the stick or reward and punishment, there's actually nothing wrong with it if you're trying to train the person to practice religious principles. If you're trying to train the person to become an ornament of the earth, a person who's got all good qualities, you're trying to train the person to be happy and fulfilled. What's wrong if you reward them when they're doing the right thing and you're punishing them when they're doing the wrong thing? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. It's only wrong if the carrot and the stick technique is being used by some person who's a bad person themselves. And they're trying to simply exploit or manipulate someone for their own aggrandizement. Then the carrot and the stick is a horrible thing. But for the right end, there's nothing wrong with it. So Krishna, by the law of karma, is trying to train everyone to do the right thing and to become a person of good character and of good morality. There's in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, it's the opulences of the absolute is the name of the chapter. And Krishna says that how does it start? What's the one which says that I am punishment? I think it's 10:38. How does it start? Huh? The English. Of the means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. Of the means of suppressing lawlessness. So what is breaking the law? Krishna's laws. If you break Krishna's laws, then you'll be punished. That's what it's saying. And then in the next part of it, it says, of those who seek victory, I am morality. So there's nothing wrong with seeking victory as long as you do it in a moral way. And then this whole concept of victory has to be understood, because it's like the example, just backtracking, when the father is playing with the child and they're wrestling and he lets the child win. The child has, he's let the child, it's theater, he's let the child win, and the child is feeling exuberant that he's defeated his own father. So the child has won, the child is the victor, but they're both victors. They've both won. And the greater victory is really the father's. So this is Krishna's acting in this realm of love. That's what the impetus in everything Krishna does is love, to raise the standard to the standard of love. And when you really analyze what love is, because there's a big misconception in the material world, you know, that people think, oh, this person is so great, I really love this person. It's usually celebrities of some sort or another. But when you really understand what love means, it's you love a person. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We only love a person when in that person's association they bring something out in us. They inspire us in such a way that we love who we become in their association. We love ourselves more when we're with this person than when we're with this person. So somebody might be very, you know, celebrated person, but when we're with them, we sort of end up being shy and we start to stumble in what we're saying. We become tongue-tied and not fluent. That means that however much we may respect them or look up to them, we don't love them. But when we're with somebody and then we find, I know that this happens all to many book distributors, that you stop a person and you try and explain the philosophy to them, and with certain people who are actually really sincerely, seriously and sincerely interested in learning what the truth is, then they can draw out of you the philosophy, and they can draw out of you incredible eloquence that you didn't even know you had. And so then you immediately have a affinity for that person, appreciation for that person. And sometimes people are very intimidating or they've kind of got a bullying nature, and then you can't be yourself in that association. If you stay with them long enough, you'll end up becoming a bully yourself. Nobody likes a bully, so how are you going to like yourself if you're turning into a bully because you're associating with a bully? You won't like yourself. So this is how the mechanism or the dynamics of love work. And so Krishna is trying to raise his devotees and always raise them to the higher level of what? Of Sat Chit and Ananda. He's trying to raise the levels of Sat Chit and Ananda, which is the true constitutional qualities of the soul. And here in the material world, our levels of Satchitananda have deteriorated, have been depleted. You know, so Krishna's trying to raise those levels back to their original levels. And so he does that because he's by allowing his devotees to be getting the credit. So Krishna does that in this case here with Kalyavana. He could have killed Kalyavana, but he allowed Muchakunda to do it. He could have killed Jarasandha. He defeated him 17 times and deliberately didn't kill him because he knew that Jarasandha was going to come back with another horde of demons, and then he would just get him to do the dirty work of collecting everybody for annihilating them. But he allowed Bhima to kill Jarasandha. With Shalva, Krishna killed Shalva, but when Shalva attacked Dwarka, Krishna, if I remember correctly, was in Hastinapur visiting the Pandavas, and there was the Rajasuya sacrifice of King Yudhisthira going on. So he wasn't there when Shalva attacked. So he was giving the credit for repelling that attack to Pradyumna, to Samba, and to his different sons and other Yadus. Most of the time when we see Krishna's pastimes, everyone's the winner, everyone's the hero. Because, for instance, when Vamana Dev, he restored the kingdom of the demigods by asking Bali Maharaj for 3 steps of land. So it seems like Vamana Dev's the hero of the day. He's defeated the demons, he's returned the kingdom to the demigods. But really the hero was his devotee Bali Maharaj. If you look at that pastime, Krishna's glorifying Bali Maharaj in so many different ways. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he's glorifying his devotees. There's one pastime where, Hare Krishna, there's one pastime where Lord Chaitanya hears this very heavenly voice singing verses from Gita Govinda, and he just starts running towards it because the songs are about Krishna. And his servant Govinda chases after him and says that you're running towards a Devi Dasi. It's a woman who's singing that song. And then Lord Chaitanya says, oh, Govinda, he said, there's danger everywhere. Therefore, I need your association. So he's saying to his devotee, I'm depending on you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying to his devotee, I depend on you, because he's a good father, and the good father is not always just the authority. He's sharing that role. Another time, yeah, there's other pastimes with Govinda also. And there's one pastime where Lord Chaitanya sleeps across a doorway, and Govinda crosses over to give the massage, which is his service, but doesn't cross over to take prasadam. And then Lord Chaitanya says, why didn't you do that? And he said, because for serving you, I can go to hell, but for my own needs, I must observe the correct etiquette. And in Krishnadas Kaviraj, he comments on this, that the Lord makes these arrangements in order to exhibit the exalted qualities of his devotees. He's constantly making the arrangements for that purpose. He's not making the arrangements so that people understand I'm God and so that people worship him. He's doing it because this is the nature of love, that you put the person you love first before yourself. And so that's what Krishna's always doing. That's what makes Krishna so endearing. When people define God as simply being this authority who you have to obey and who you have to hold in awe and reverence, that's not as endearing an understanding of God as the God who has these loving exchanges and who serves his devotees and who's controlled by the love of his devotees. That's the true conception of who God is. That's a higher level. And this principle of bringing the best out in another, then that's bringing the best out of yourself. When you are able to bring the best out of another person through your own qualities, good qualities, then you're bringing the best out of yourself. There's one, just to finish off, there's one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that when Krishna sees the gopis, because he loves them so much, his own beauty increases. And when the gopis see Krishna, because they love him so much, their own beauty increases. And so we see how this is like an ever-increasing dynamic. Everybody wins. When you put the other first, then you win. It's an irony, because it's, you know, in the material world, when you put the other person first, then you're putting yourself second. That's the material mathematics. Prabhupada said there's spiritual mathematics and there's material mathematics. So in spiritual mathematics, this is another form of spiritual mathematics. Prabhupada would often say 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. But here we see that if you put the other person first, you don't come second, you come first. You both come first. So we'll end there. It's nearly 8:30. So are there any comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you, Ruzi. So you talked about how we should try to get the best out of somebody else.
Yeah.
What if we are in the other position, if we are on the receiving end? Let's say we are more talented than someone.
Sorry?
We are more talented or skillful than someone in a particular aspect.
Yeah.
And that person and somebody else, seeing our talent, is becoming envious and trying to subdue our talent or not letting us, what do we say, exhibit that properly or use that in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
So how to deal with such envious fellows? So that those envious people may be devotees as well. So how to deal with them?
I would suggest that the way to deal with it is to ignore it. Prabhupada would say, envy is a very unpleasant and unfortunate quality. So in course of time, devotees who practice the process of Krishna consciousness will overcome their lower qualities, the lower modes. They will become purified of it. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says that when you start to see Krishna more and more everywhere, then it says the bad qualities of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness disappear from the heart as you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's what's meant to happen. The Madhyama Adhikari, it states that if you're on that level of Madhyam, then when you see somebody that's more, as you're saying, more talented than you in Krishna consciousness or in anything, then the verse that describes this is Ishvara Tad Adineshu Balisheshu Dvishatsacha Preme Maitre Kripopeksha Sakroti Tu Madhyamaha. So then you express affection when someone's greater than you. You express appreciation and affection. When someone's equal to you, then it's friendship. It's equal, therefore you're sharing and it's friendship. No one's higher, no one's lower. When somebody is in an inferior position, then kripa, you give them mercy. You try and raise them. That's point of this class. You're trying to raise them. And of course the demons, you just ignore them. You don't have anything to do with them. So that's what's meant to happen. When you're contaminated by the lower modes of nature, when somebody's higher than you, then you're envious. When someone's equal to you, there's this rivalry. And when somebody's lower than you, there's this abusiveness. You sort of arrogantly treat them in a disparaging way. So it's just a matter of practicing the process, becoming purified. And so I would say tolerate. Parama.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Prabhu, in the previous verse, text 9.
Yeah.
It said that the children of Krishna.
Could we just talk on the class that I gave? Not, I didn't speak about that. I didn't speak about text 9.
I was just going to ask that the children of Krishna had exactly the same qualities as Krishna.
Yeah.
What does that mean, exactly the same?
You're asking when it says that Krishna's children had exactly the same qualities as Krishna, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I don't know, I was just curious because it's not saying, because it says exactly the same qualities, so that would make them Krishna. So what's the difference between children and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Inupachina and so on?
I didn't study that. I just studied the next verse. So I'm.
No, it just kind of struck me. So, yeah.
Exactly his own quality. I would say that's talking about when it says exactly, that's not to be taken literally. I would say it can't be taken literally. It can't be taken literally. It's talking about virtually. And so Krishna is... It just means that they were chips off the old block. So sometimes people will see the father's quality in the child, and they'll say, wow, he's exactly like his father, isn't he? So in that sense. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
Just now, so apologies for that. It occurs to me that there's a letter, Prabhupada talks about how Arjuna, he comes back again and again to play the same part. He actually doesn't go to the spiritual world. His spiritual world is where Krishna is teaching him that actually he wants to come back, but not only does that happen, that there are in many, many universes in this particular time, there are many other universes where Arjuna has expansions of himself, and he's coming. He just wants to experience his choosing Krishna as his friend. That's what he wants to show. He just wanted to show his love. No matter where I am, I just want to be with you. Isn't it? I don't know, but maybe I missed the point earlier.
It's not that Arjuna isn't in the spiritual world, because wherever Krishna is, Arjuna is there.
Because that's where his love is. That's where his love is.
Yeah, he's a Nitya Siddha, so he's wherever Krishna is, he'll be there as well.
Yeah, never lose him, ever. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
You know, that we would never get to the spiritual world because that this particular relationship with Krishna. And then there's also that nice verse, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me.
Right. You know, that's what we're trying to cultivate.
It's a sort of a... He always wants the best, and the best is so fantastic is this story we've heard from Krishna that my hairs are standing on end. And that's Sanjay, he's experiencing this bliss that Arjuna is expressing or seeing and having a choice, you know, and given so many dilemmas. Yeah, because Prabhupada talks about the spiritual master's duty is to explain every situation again and again until somehow he gets to know that actually it doesn't matter where Arjuna is in any world, he's with his friend. And that's the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you all for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.